What's up, folks? It's another edition of the Purple is Black edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I am here, the voice in your ear holes. I'm at Who Trusts Superman? That's H-U-U-T-R-A-N, Superman, on the Twitterverse, on the Instagram. We are here. He highlights the highlighters. He flicks the bean. It is Mr. Alma Bean, 23. What's up, Alma?
Howdy. You know, just chilling here. We're the off season is rolling, and you know we're about to get to the fun part. So
right.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we are one game away from the off season being here for the Mavericks and the Celtics. Congratulations to the Celtics up 3-0. They're about to win here. excuse me. Whoa, goodness gracious, dying here. I do want to say, Alma, it's been a while. How you been, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I mean, applying for some positions. I fully leaned into the bald head look. I'm going for modern day Kratos.
Okay. Yeah.
So, got that going for me. Finally invested in a camera so I can go ahead and hopefully get some better quality work out there. I've put some of those photos out on my Twitter already. When I went ahead and explored the Capitol building, but, yeah, you know, just sitting here chilling.
Alma doing his thing for the Hive, got a new camera, doing his OnlyFans now. So big things for Mr. Bean over there. And speaking of big things, Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino. Get on a game of blackjack or poker, maybe craps or slots, you know, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head over to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Speaking of, online casinos, stuff, Alba, you took your first trip to Wendover, like, last month, right?
Yep, it was my first time going. I was celebrating my roommate's 23rd birthday, and he went ahead and found out that I had never been to a casino before. So he's like, we got to go to Wendover. So we went ahead and just did a quick two-day trip over there. And in our very first night over there, we got to Wendover a lot earlier than we expected. So we decided, why not go to the casinos earlier? Because we were just planning on day two to spend the whole day. Once we lost more money than we wanted to, then we would drive home. He went ahead and did a singular 60-cent bet and won $400.
That's a good return on investment. See, gambling is just that easy, folks. Go do it. Did you go to the Squatch's favorite casino, the Red Garter?
I did not. I only went to one casino, and to be honest, I don't even remember the name of it. It was literally the first one we could walk to.
All right, so
one of our friends was complaining the whole time.
You went to the Golden Nugget.
The one that's connected to that little bridge.
Oh, so it's either the Golden Nugget or the Montego Bay.
Montego Bay, that's the one I went to.
Montego's nice. I haven't been to Wendover in a minute, but Montego's probably the nicest property at Wendover, which is, you know, whatever. And the parking lot is in Utah. And the casino is in Nevada, so you know, nice little thing there for you. They have an okay buffet too. So,
and I will say, like, two things that happened while I was there that was like kind of threw me off. First off, I won so many games of blackjack in a row that security like started like checking in on me. I won like 14 or 15 straight hands of blackjack, and they immediately started like walking over and like peeking over my shoulder, and I was like, maybe I should intentionally throw one of these games, because I was doing like $5 bets per hand and I was just bringing it all back. Maybe I'll throw a hand.
Like, here's the thing, if you're really Rain Man, you would know to press your bets like after you like won two or three hands, you would be making your bets bigger. So if you're only doing $5 minimum hands, they're not losing that much money. So
yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I was like, you guys probably make so much more money off of so many other things in here. Yeah, you guys are concerned about my $5 bets over blackjack, and I won a certain amount. Yeah. I will say, there were like three hands where I won with my hand being 15. which might have looked a little suspicious.
Hey, well, that's what you're supposed to do. So, you know, not trying to like give gambling advice because there is no good gambling advice, but when you're on a hot streak, that's how you make money. So if you're on a hot streak, is when you start pressing your bets. So,
but
sounds right. So,
but the second thing, I was told that there were going to be people walking around saying like, "Oh, you need a drink," and like
cocktails.
I was looking around and nobody was offering cocktails. Mm. I had to walk up to the bar and I either had to pay full price for the drink or I had to go ahead and play the little slots that do not pay out at the bar.
Yeah, you gotta sit down and play. Like, I think you have to put at least $20 in, and you gotta play. I want to say a dollar minimum. At the bar.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sitting there, I'm playing it, and I was just like, "Well, I was told that there were supposed to be people walking around offering cocktails, so that I don't have to get up." And I had to keep on leaving my machine.
It was that full ball head of yours that they were avoiding you. So.
Maybe the glare.
Avoid that table there. Avoid the bean.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, don't gamble, folks. It's not that easy. So,
you'll never win again. I came back with the extra $200. Yeah, so, I'm happy.
Yeah, your money bags over there. So,
I mean, shoot, that money went all into my season tickets for the NHL.
That's true. Yeah, we'll probably get to that. NHL is here. We're recording this like 2 weeks before the draft, so it's June 13th here. We're getting into it. Go the Distance 49 will be here in just a little bit. So we'll talk about it right now. I'm trying to build the show in my head. Like, what should we talk about? You know, and like what, you know, on June 13th, what is important as a Jazz fan? And, you know, 2 weeks before the draft, it should be, you know, draft talk. But again, with this draft being the way it is, and I know that you've done a complete 180. You now think this is the best draft that is in the history of drafts because you've done all that work.
Whoa, calm down.
it's hard for me to switch gears. Like, cause in December, when we talked about it in December, you know, and for over a year, but this draft not being great, not being worth it, you know, it's going to take a lot of convincing for me to get back into this draft. I understand that you've, you know, done the deep dive into it. And I know people have, you know, not now that the Jazz were going to have a draft pick, they went from having zero draft picks in this draft to now three. People were like, okay, well, now we're going to pay, you know. So on one hand, there's the whole, you know, people have done more work and, you know, we're able to find some stuff in it. But on the other hand, like, are we just confirming our bias? Are we just, you know, trying to believe now that there's something there because there's more at stake for the Jazz now? And so that's why, like, I guess I'm trying not to overreact to the Jazz having three picks in this draft, in a draft that still is being sold as a very weak draft. So I'm not too excited about getting into draft prospects, but I think we'll do that a little bit later in the show. We'll get back to the thing that people have been kind of excited about for, at least last week they were. Purple is back. Purple's back. Apparently mountain basketball is a term that they're trying to coin now. Mountain basketball, the new rebrand for the Jazz that's rolling out in about half a season. Jerseys that everybody seemingly really enjoys. The purple mountain jerseys are going to be back for another city edition. The jerseys that were like really probably the most popular ones last year are now the least popular of the jerseys. So the rebrand is here. It's funny because like we've seen Tiffany Dawn, Jazz uniform tracker, gets a lot of people who fought this rebound from the start. It looks like Ryan Smith pulling a couple strings to really get out of their contract a little bit earlier than expected. What are your thoughts about the Jazz and the rebrand now? The rebrand.
So I actually really like these jerseys. I will say I probably don't like the city edition as much as other people do. I mean, I like the little touch of that baby blue in there, But I mean, when I'm looking at all four jerseys across the board, I still love the purple city jersey that we had from the previous season. The black uniform looks amazing. Absolutely love it. And that white jersey is just so clean.
All right, so you said the city jersey. So there's two Purple Mountain editions, one with like a white Utah, one with the black lettering Utah. Which one did you say you're not a fan of?
So I'm not saying I'm not a fan of. I'm just saying that I don't have it as high as everyone else does. The one that had Lauri Markkanen in it, on the far left of the photo when they went ahead and did the release, the one with like the baby blue lining for the Utah purple jersey.
So that jersey is actually different from the Mountain jerseys from last year.
Correct.
Okay, they look very similar, so I didn't look too hard at it. So
well, so the one that Walker Kessler is wearing, yes, in that graphic, that is the exact same one that they had for the city jersey last year.
Okay, so that, yeah, so
it's literally the exact same purple jersey. Which that one, I still like the design, and I'm sure everyone else does. But since the one that Lauri Markkanen was in has like that nice hint of blue. And even like the color of the mountains, it's more of an homage to the actual shading of the 90s.
I mean, it's interesting. I thought it was interesting that you said that a lot, because I've seen a lot of people loving the white, loving the black, not a lot of love for the purple. Like, no, there has been like no hate. Like, there's no visceral hate. Like, you know, the last rebrand was, you know, all that looked awful. The yellow, the white, the black, everybody hated almost every single jersey except for the purple. And it seemed like, I mean, I at least from what I saw, I saw a lot of people really on board with the white, really on board with the black. And the purple's there, but nobody complained about it. But I don't think, that's why I was surprised that you've seen a lot of people who are really into the new city purple jerseys.
And my consensus is that with last season, when the Jazz went ahead and showed that they had an all-purple uniform, mm-hmm, people were excited because they finally got it. Like, they didn't care how much they got. They were just glad that they had it. But now that they have it, they want to tone it back. So that's why you're hearing a lot of people that are super excited about that white uniform that Keyonte George is in, mm-hmm, just because it's a nice white jersey and there's just enough purple for it to pop, but it's not all in your face about it. Yes. And then even with like the black uniforms, the white and the black, you have little shades of gray in there to go ahead and, you know, separate the Jazz note from the mountains. But then you look at the cut on the sides and you have that fade of the purple to blue to kind of pop for a bit, and it's not all in your face, but it's enough to go ahead and be like, oh, that's a really nice accent color. So with these other two jerseys, the city jersey that the Jazz are going to have for this season and the one that is essentially the city jersey from last season, now that we have been able to see uniforms that use the accent of purple, those uniforms are almost overbearing in my opinion. Like, it's just so much there, but it's not a hatred towards those uniforms. It's just less of a preference towards those now that we have other uniforms that are more of what the fan base was looking for, yeah, an accent, not... No. Or at least that's how I look at,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, look, it looks like a slam dunk. It seems like the people are more urgent, you know, like this is, you know, way more receptive to this rebrand than the previous rebrand. So, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, going about face, I think. You know, it's very funny how, you know, there are so many excuses for last rebrand. Oh, you know, they wanted to do the black and white notes, the yellow spotlight. Dwayne Wade's mom had no idea what the colors were. and this time around, you don't need all that. This time around, if you make something clean, you make something nice looking, you make something that people enjoy. I mean, the biggest complaint, I guess, is that it doesn't say Jazz on the jersey; it just says Utah.
Which, that's something that Ryan Smith has kind of been going towards ever, yep, since he bought the team. His, yeah, whole motto about having any sports team is that he wants to go ahead and have it connected to Utah. Like, it doesn't matter about the team names themselves. Like, he wants it connected to Utah. And, I mean, you already have the entire NBA fan base still mocking the fact that they are the Utah Jazz. Why are they called the Jazz? I get it. Like, there's not a large jazz community out here, but it's the name that stuck. And, you know, we're here 50 years later. Like, if you go ahead and change it now, you're just going to have an uproar from the community because that's our team. Like, it's at this point, go ahead and connect to your fan base as far as what they can actually connect to. And I'm sure probably in the next year or so, people probably won't even recognize that. I mean, you'll probably go ahead and get like the side banter here and they're like, oh, they're the Jazz. But you, where does it say Jazz? That's probably the most you'll get out of it. But I mean, it's a Utah uniform and nothing is going to go ahead and have you question that whatsoever.
Yeah, so Alma, I'm a, you know, with Utah being on the jersey, no Jazz. I mean, there's a conspiracy theory that is the Jazz name might go away, and whatever comes in second, the Yeti, the Blizzard, the Outlaws, that could be the name for the new Jazz team. So
does that mean they would just like sell the name to New Orleans now?
Yeah, they're the voice you hear at Go This Is 49. What's up, Jared? Yeah, you know, so we just got done talking about how, you know, the nice jerseys and everything, and like the rebrand, and just says Utah on the chest and everything there. Yeah, give New Orleans the Jazz back. Apparently, that's what they're going for, right?
Yeah, I mean, sell it back to them and buy a player with that money. I don't know. I wish this was it was easy as being like a rich soccer club where you just buy good players. That'd be amazing.
I know that Real Salt Lake's doing pretty good, but let's not bring that onto this Jazz podcast right now. So Jared, like, what do you think? So. New rebrand, obviously, it's very popular. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. But any other thoughts about the rebrand that you have here?
Well, I feel like my favorite is probably the black jerseys because they use the Jazz note, and that's like the only iconic piece of, like, I guess Jazz memorabilia that exists. Like, the Jazz note is kind of like classic, old school. Simple, perfect. Like,
yeah, I think all 3.5 jerseys, because like the two city editions just look so similar to me. And I was like, oh, like,
yeah, they do. They're really similar. And that's too bad.
Elmer just took the last 30 minutes explaining the differences between both jerseys to me, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
You're like, if you need to explain the difference, then and it's not worth it.
No,
like,
I mean,
a jersey. The difference should be evident.
Like, well, and I thought maybe it's just not evident to me because, like, I was like, oh, well, they use this color palette, this hex code. You know, there's a little bit of different mountains here. I was like, whoa. I was like, okay. Well,
to me, you shouldn't have to, like, zoom in on the jerseys and examine the color palette. And then, like, it shouldn't be like you have swatches that you're picking between the different kind of turquoise you want.
Jared, you and I are the problem. Like, you and I are the ones that can't tell the difference. Everybody else is. Sees is fine.
So, I mean, they can say that it's
hi. It's us. It's we're the problem. It's us. So
oh man, shut up, Taylor.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So yeah. So you know the rebrand. You know the Jazz PR needed a win, and they finally got it. And you know I tweeted out that I think the. I think maybe it was kind of the plan that they were, you know, they wanted to be so bad at something that way, you know, they just have to come up with something, you know, even if it's just mediocre, it's so much better than what they did before. They set the bar so low, which is, you know, that's my motto in life. That's what I do. I set expectations so low of myself that when I
on the floor in the basement.
Yeah, that when I even just do something that's just like close to average, people like applaud me. So, very smart on their part.
Do you have an example for us, too? I feel like we need an example.
Yeah. I started this Jazz podcast called Hitting the High Notes. And it's, you know, the quality has actually really gone downhill a lot. And so when we do a good episode, people are like, oh my God, this is great. So,
that's pretty good.
Yeah. And Alma used to work with me. He saw what I used to do, you know, went through Sunday. So, you know, just barely get the show done, barely get it on air. So if I ever do anything that's better than that, they're like, okay, cool, give them a raise. So,
give them a raise.
But yeah, so the rebrand going, it's nice. Thank you, Jazz. It is funny, like just all the jokes. People are like, oh, but Yellow's such a good seller, and it's just again, like this is such a. It's going to be something that we're going to throw back into this ownership's face over, like, hey, remember the time that, we were told that Yellow was such a good seller and then it's all on clearance and everything. And,
why do you have so much of it left over? I thought it sold.
There's probably a lot of third world country villages that are wearing Yellow Jazz jerseys out there. Thinking
they're going to go ahead and do all the leftover merch as like a season opener, like put all the t-shirts out on the chairs, all the highlighted Yellow stuff.
Make them towels so you can throw them away. But yeah, so, the Jazz rebranded pretty well. The Jazz Hockey Club, Jazz Hockey Club, Utah Hockey Club.
Jazz Hockey Club, I like that.
Utah Hockey Club.
The merger.
They came out with their rebrand to get today. Another simplistic look. I know some people are... They either like really like it, or they actually. This one's a little more polarizing. Some people really like how it looks, and maybe it's because it's a shiny new toy. A lot of people are very, very mad about how simplistic it looks. Even though it's a temporary rebrand. I think Utah Hockey Club should be the name of the club anyway. I think Washington Football Team sounds better than Commanders. So.
It does sound better than Commanders. Is an awful name. Objectively.
So let's go. Let's go hockey club. So, So it's another. But like the hockey club, people are again. Since it's Smith Entertainment Group, there's sort of that they call it Rock Black and Snow White and
Mountain Blue.
Yeah, they're really playing with the mountains here in Utah. Mountain Blue. So. That sort of looks like it's like a lot of people are kind of like, is this sort of like where the Jazz are going? I don't know. The rebrands for both clubs, going fairly well. It's not gonna be perfect, not gonna work for everybody. I think it was such an awful rebrand, 2-3 years ago. And it's funny because like the rebrands. It can't even take effect till the beginning of the 2025 year, right? Contract wise or whatever, but the Jazz are trying to release it now to kind of to really get that. It's just what it feels like as a PR move. Like, hey, we're releasing this now, but by the way, we still have to wear those ugly jerseys for half a year or half a season. So,
I had to dive in to even find out about that. I was like. Oh, cool. We're getting these new jerseys. And then I go on to the actual Jazz app.
Yep.
And then it's like, hey, by the way, we're going to phase these in so then it's nice and easy for the fan base to fully integrate into this new rebrand. And I'm like,
so everybody
that's awful.
Get a lot of use out of their old yellow Fontecchio jersey.
I think Jared was a remix there, but I believe he said yellow Fontecchio jersey. And that's the thing is that like that's what bothers me about this Jazz PR stuff is that look we all know what the deal is, like you're saying that you're easing it in for the fans, but we're all smart enough to know that that's not the reason. You probably have a financial / contractual obligation to Nike and all those jerseys that you have to wear that to a certain point. And, so that's the part about the Jazz right now that bothers me is they sugarcoat things a little too much.
They tell a lot of fibs. I mean, I don't want to call them bald-faced lies, but...
And it's just like, again, it's PR talk. It's spin. They try to spin it. And the problems that
we had the spin zone.
Yeah, yes. we've had too much spin, and that we've all become acutely aware of what's spin and what isn't. So, sorry, Jared.
We're playing tennis with the Jazz. Got that backspin on the ball.
We're rebranded. The Jazz are now rebranded, and honestly, might be the most exciting thing that happened to the Jazz this offseason, and it might work out. As a Jazz fan, I am 1% happier than I was 2 weeks ago. So that's a win.
Yeah,
See, I'm happier that the fact that there is the rebrand, but then I am immediately saddened by knowing how much I'm going to spend. And that's what scares me. Because I'm just like, oh no.
I know I'm utilizing gas nuts, Alma. Gas nuts.
Nobody told you, Alma, to... actually, many people told you not to buy those old jerseys, but hey, we can't... We, you know, you are a grown person, so...
I am. Decisions. What, that we know for a fact.
One more time.
I am a grown person that makes bad decisions.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
Yes. As I look over at my closet with all of the random assortment of colors.
the jazz did it to you. And we're back, and so, again, hitting the high notes brought to you by the Believe Network. I believe we need to say that more often. Believe, we need to say more often. Believe, B-L-E-A-V, Believe Network. So, you know, the network has a lot of different things going on right now, a lot of different basketball podcasts, and then football's coming up. Alma just joined my mock draft. Like, this was a really hard, like, I was like, we should do a mock draft dynasty. Yada yada yada. I thought people would just say, "Hey, yeah, let's do a draft in June." It was like pulling teeth to get people to join this league, and I'm like, "It's not even a real league. Like, we're just drafting, and then it just goes away. It's a mock draft. Everybody just make picks." So, Alma took Christian McCaffrey with the first pick. So,
yeah, I mean, solid pick in my opinion.
Yeah, except it's super flex. I thought it was interesting. So, you know, we'll have to talk about this on our fantasy football draft here
But what's concerning me is that we have been on pick number 8 for, like, the last 10 hours.
Yeah, I mean, another guy that I do a fantasy football with, and like, we were humming along, but, you know, here we are. And that's, then, you know, is what it's funny because in a regular, like, draft, I wouldn't be too mad about it because, like, the pick comes up and you're like, all right, maybe you want to make a trade. And so, yeah, you know, in a dynasty draft, you have all the time to make trades, but... yeah,
this is like, just picking.
This is a mock draft, man. Like, what are you doing? So, hopefully, he's not like,
yeah, dark. Like,
yeah. So that would
like, I got super busy at work, and I thought that like I was going to be holding you guys up, and then I looked, and I was like, oh, we haven't even made it to my second pick.
Yeah, we haven't got to. Yeah, so hopefully, it goes quicker. So, but yeah, so you know, we're here. Speaking of draft, what a transition. I wasn't even trying. Speaking of draft, you know, we are 2 Fridays away from. Or just like a little bit less than 2 weeks away from the Jazz. A number 10 pick, number 29 pick, number 32 pick. You know, we're pushing hard here, hitting the high notes for Bronny at 10. That's sort of died down. It's died down. I need to really push that back up there. Look, again.
Rookie numbers, yeah.
it's really hard for me again to get excited about this draft, and I talked about it at the top of the show. Like, this is a draft that in December, you know, when the Jazz looked like they weren't going to have a pick, you know, I was told multiple times by multiple people on this podcast, not a good draft, not worth it. Jazz need to convey the pick, and now here we are, and some people have spent a considerable amount of resources, time and whatnot, to study this draft.
Just listen to Art Takes Note and Jay Potting Around over on the Jack Potting Around podcast. They just spent a lot of time, like they had a whole mock draft, and
yeah,
like it was like an hour and a half show, and I was like, oh my gosh, people are really all in on this draft.
I mean even Alma over here flicking the bean and the Hive, and like he's writing articles and doing deep dives. And
did you just say what I think you said? You said Alma flips the one bean or something?
Yeah, he's got. We're getting his new show started on Twitter called Flick the Bean. So
I gotta do something in my spare time.
So Alma's done. You know, obviously done a lot of work.
Alma, you didn't tell us you were intersex. Come on, man.
And
the only fans in sport.
there's so much. Are we just tricking ourselves? Are we just trying to make ourselves better? Because now the Jazz actually have a dog in the fight. When the Jazz didn't have a dog in the fight, it was we were very okay. Were we lying to ourselves then, or we lying to ourselves now? And so that's why for me, this draft just was like, you know what? I made my bed, you know, months ago. And the information, nothing's really, you know, I've heard the arguments we're going to talk about here now too, about, you know, the players and everything. But nothing's really convinced me otherwise that what we thought about in December and all the information that we had, back then is any different than here we are in June now. So, but you know,
yeah, I don't feel any different.
There are going to be some. I mean, and again, Alma, you know, you've done the work, and I'd like you to be able to share some of your work and some of your findings, because there's a good chance that I'm wrong a lot. Maybe I'm wrong about this stuff. Maybe we do need to talk about the players and either maybe not hidden gems, but you know, at 10, Alma, what's kind of your idea here for the Jazz? You know, what prospects at 10 excite you, and what, you know, maybe comps do you have for these guys at 10?
So I've seen a lot of, like, people saying, oh, you should go ahead and try and get Ron Holland as much as you possibly can. Like, whatever you need to do to get Ron Holland, like, that's your guy. And for me, I don't really see it, because, I mean, you're talking about a guy who scored 22 points a game for the G League Ignite, a team that is no longer around. And I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the G League Ignite was literally the worst team in the G League when that was supposed to be like the stars of tomorrow, and they can barely even get a win. But to me, he looked like a poor man's Harrison Barnes, or like a Washington Wizards Rashard Lewis. Like, he doesn't have a good three-point shot, but that's something that, with his position being a forward, like, that's something that he needs to be able to excel in, especially if you're going to go ahead and make that jump into the NBA. But, I mean, he has hustle. He has that grind. He has the defensive structure to go ahead and get Jazz fans excited. But also, Jazz fans need a three-point shooter. They need a consistent shooter of any kind. And Ron Holland is not that. I think Rob Dillingham is somebody that they should go ahead and have more consideration for that number 10 pick, because the Jazz need a point guard. And Danny Ainge went ahead and said up front, he doesn't believe that Keontae George is the point guard of the future, and that he would much rather him play the two or the three, similar to what he did in Baylor, so he can actually go ahead and show off his talent and skill that he did in college. But even if you're not willing to go ahead and make that pick for Rob Dillingham, I think that it would either be better for you to go ahead and put your chips in for like a Cody Williams, more of a raw prospect that is going to go ahead and need more shaping. Honestly, I think he would probably need probably half a season in the G League to at least get up to speed, especially playing at Colorado. Not a lot of these Pac-12 schools are going to go ahead and have him up to an NBA level. I know this might be a little far, but even like a Jared McCain, I think he'd be a solid point guard option to go ahead and take at 10. It might be a little bit of a reach, but the fact that you have a guard that can go ahead and get you boards and can go ahead and open up the floor for literally everybody else on the floor, I think that those are some solid guys. And if Dalton Connect is still available at the number 10 pick, definitely consider him. And I think the biggest reach you can go ahead and make is for Stephon Castle. But again, these are all like spreading out throughout the entire roster, whether you need to go ahead and get a point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward. I haven't mentioned any centers, because I think that if you're going to consider a center, you want to go ahead and do that later in the draft, whether that be the 29th pick or the 32 pick. But I think that there is a solid chance that Utah could go ahead and try and take a risk in this draft, given the recent injury reports with Nikola Topic, tearing his ACL. I would be willing to go ahead and draft him with the number 10 pick, allow him to go ahead and rest for that full year, get his ACL fully healthy, and then bring him back for the 2025-26 season, just because of how well he went ahead and played overseas. Like, just his court vision, his ability to go ahead and just move the ball, also being able to create for himself,
I mean, the guy went ahead and averaged nearly 7.5 assists per game. And I think last year the Jazz, the best passer on the team as far as assist numbers go, was Jordan Clarkson, and he maybe had 5 a game, and that was because Will Hardy went ahead and told him he had to. So, like, why not have a guy that does it naturally rather than an aging star for Utah that is being forced to play a new role and kind of doing it okay?
So, okay, so let's kind of talk about what you just talked about here. So, I mean, look, I don't know anything about Tom Holland or that, but, like, you know, if you get Tom Holland on the team, maybe Zendaya comes, you know, he has a Spider-Mitchell connection. So, I mean, I don't know. I like Spider-Man. So, Tom Holland, cool, right? Ron Holland, never heard of the guy. So, but you'd say he plays for the...
I mean, if you have Tom Holland, you have Zendaya at the games.
That's what I'm saying. I said Zendaya, so... Okay, so, you know, Ron Holland plays for the G League Ignite, right? And the G League Ignite, like, as you said, was supposed to be, like, you know, these are the best of the G Leaguers. You know, a lot of people were going there. Now with NIL and college basketball, the G League Ignite sort of is redundant, and that's why they got rid of it, right? Mm-hmm. Got rid of the team. So off the top of your head, though, like, who do you think are the best G League Ignite draft prospects that came into the NBA?
Jalen Green,
yep. And Jalen Green is good. Jalen Green is good, but, you know, like, he is probably the best out of the people I've come into. And Jalen Green's good. I don't know.
Isn't Josh Giddey also
Giddey? I don't think so.
Josh Giddey was not from G League.
Yeah,
he played internationally.
Yeah. So.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Jalen Green's probably the best, and, like, yeah, again, he was number 3 pick, right?
And then, I mean, if you want to consider Scoot Henderson, but he had a huge slump coming in.
Yeah, I mean, Scoot still has a lot to prove. He didn't really set the world on fire when he came in. Like, he showed some flashes. You know, Jonathan Kuminga. You know,
but again, like, you're having to, like, really think hard to, like, figure out who actually came from that team.
Right.
Like,
right.
I thought these were supposed to be, like, the biggest high school stars.
And again, Jalen Green's good, but, man, like, there's some guys, like, you know, he's below Lauri Markkanen. He's below Jamal Murray. He's below, you know, so, you know, like he's good, but he hasn't changed the Rockets. You know, he's one of their young pieces, and, you know, if you get him for cheap, great, but, you know, using the number 3 pick, you know, he might be a little disappointing if you thought he was going to be a franchise. If comparing him to be a franchise player, he's been disappointing. So, so the G League Ignite, for, you know, the experiment, just sort of, you know, get players paid a little more, get them playing at an NBA level, it didn't quite pan out.
It ignited, so, and it burned up.
Yeah, and so Ron Holland, again, like, there's not a great track record of grabbing anybody from the G League Ignite, and so, yeah, so that's a strike against getting him, Ron Holland, there. And you mentioned a bunch of other players here, you know, at 10.
I will say, like, the person that I think that the Jazz should take, like, even though I mentioned a lot of different names, I think Rob Dillingham should be the guy they take with that pick.
Okay. And so let's go back to that, like, list of names they did. So part of the hope, right? I don't know if a lot of Jazz fans think about it this way, but, you know, the hope is that you find the next Giannis, you find the next Jokic, and that really has very little to do with scouting. And look, I'll explain this. I'm going to ramble and explain it. Like, to get the next Giannis, to get the next Jokic, to get the next, you know, whoever that's not in the top 5, but, you know, a franchise option player, whoever you draft, there's, you know, whoever's going to be drafted there, there's probably, like, a less than a 0.5% chance, maybe a 0.25% chance that that's going to happen. Because a lot of things have to break your way. Like, yeah, you do have to have good scouting. You know, yeah, you have to be able to go find the Bo Cruises of the world. But again, if the Bucks knew what they knew in that Giannis draft, they wouldn't have waited till 13 or whatever, 15 or whatever pick Giannis was. If the Nuggets knew how good Jokic was going to be, there's no way those guys would have waited as long as they did to draft those guys. You know, like if you are 100% confident that you know those guys are going to be that good, you go get them and you go get them as early as you can. Because you don't want anybody, because you have no idea what the 29 to other GMs are thinking. So, you have no idea. Like maybe someone else will scout it just as good as you because that's their job. So it takes luck, is what I'm trying to say. Like, to get the next Giannis Jokic at, you know, not a top five pick. Takes a lot more luck than skill.
You can even look at the number 10 pick overall. I mean, if you go year by year, you can go from Paul George in 2010 to Jimmer Fredette in 2011.
Yeah,
showing you how big of a gap you can go ahead and have in the number 10 pick. It's just having luck and knowing how to develop these certain guys and hoping they fit your system.
The
BYU fans in our audience are going to be mad.
Well, I mean, the argument is that you can find those guys anywhere, right? But you and that is true. You can find those guys anywhere, but it takes a lot of luck for them to drop to where you get them, and you know, not only that, for things to break right, like. For Paul George to have that growth spurt, for Giannis to figure out his athleticism, a lot of this takes a lot of different work. So, I'm just putting it out there that luck is a factor, and maybe the Jazz do. But again, let's put it at a quarter of a percentage that it's going to happen for the Jazz. So if it doesn't happen, you got to have a backup plan. So these guys at 10, so you mentioned like Cody Williams, you mentioned some of these other guys, Dalton Connect. Yes. What kind of comps are we looking for then as NBA players? Because again, we talked about this in December. We thought pretty much anybody from 2 to 25, best case scenario, you know, ninth player off the bench. You know, we talk about Cody Williams being raw. Look at the number 10 pick, probably not what you want, but if, you know, 20 to, you know, if 80% of this draft class, you know, are going to be, you know, high ceiling, you know, is your sixth man of the year, maybe. If they could be Naj Reid, it's not bad, but it's probably also not going to alter your franchise.
Hey, you know what, Alma? What do you think about that Tropic kid that everybody keeps talking about?
I really like him, and I think that given his injury, he will drop in the draft because some teams are really going to want a guy that can go ahead and make an impact for them immediately. But I think with where Utah currently is, they're going to go ahead and tell the public, we are a playoff contender, and I mean, as they should, like, they want to sell tickets, they want to sell merch, they're going to go ahead and tell people that they're contenders no matter what. But they're in this in-between spot to where they don't necessarily need to prove anything to anyone. So if they go ahead and get Topic, they can go ahead and afford to go ahead and have him sit for an entire year, heal that ACL. But now you're going to go ahead and have a guy that essentially had a full year with NBA trainers to go ahead and get up to NBA speed and, you know, put on some muscle because it is needed for him.
He's going to get that Ben Simmons year.
Ben Simmons year, a Chet Holmgren year. I mean, like, it worked out for them in for that first year fully playing. So now you're getting a guy that naturally can go ahead and get 7 or 8 assists a game when the Jazz were struggling to get a guy to get 4 or 5. And maybe you had the 1 or 2 games this season where you maybe hit double figures in assists with a single player. So naturally getting a younger guy, because I want to say he's probably like 18, 19 right now, getting him at that age that is a natural facilitator, which is something that Utah hasn't had in a long time, as far as a consistent facilitator. I know people are going to go ahead and say, oh, what about Mike Conley? I mean, that wasn't something that he was consistently needing to do. He went ahead and filled his role as needed, which some nights it was him facilitating the ball. Sometimes it was him having to be a scorer. But Topic, every single night, you are looking at 7 to 8 assists, plus him go ahead and dropping maybe 15 to 20 points a game. That's something that Utah really needs to have. So
yeah,
I would be real, willing to take that risk for him to rest for that full year if that is what I'm going to be getting when he returns. And I will take that risk.
Yeah, I think I'm he's probably my number two behind Bronny at number 10. And so, because I like that argument that Alma just made. Like, look, you know, again, you know, at number 10, like, are we really are the Jazz really going to get somebody really impactful? Again, if before the draft, you know, 6 months ago, we were saying that most of these guys are bench warmers. You know, half of them are going to be in the league. Their best case scenarios are going to be, you know, maybe Naz Reid, and that's on the high end. Then, you know, like, you know, for a championship team, for a team that's a piece or two away, you know, for a team that's going to be capped out like the Wolves, that's a good player to get. For a team that's for the Jazz, you know, definitely, I think, yeah, going for this is sort of the, you know, going for a guy that has a really low floor, top itch, but, you know, a super high ceiling. You know, maybe the highest ceiling in the draft, and quote unquote wasting your pick and waiting a year, because the Jazz right now in the rebuild mode, they can't afford it. So that's good. You know, you throw some other names like Cody Williams out there. Cody Williams, you know, famously Jalen Williams' brother, and there are some people out there who want to draft him just because of that, and I think that's an awful reason to try to want to draft him.
Definitely an awful reason, just because he's related to somebody.
But like those names that you picked out there, Alma, like what are we saying here? Like, do we really think their ceilings are going to be all stars, or are we just saying that most of them? Like, do we think they're just going to be guys that are, you know, eighth men on the bench?
I will say, like, out of all of those guys that I mentioned, I believe they all have that potential to, you know, at least get that singular all-star, like maybe like the Mehmet Okur, like single all-star appearance. I think that is doable for these guys, especially like Topic and Cody Williams, because like with Topic, I went ahead and said like he's just a natural facilitator, and I mean, I think that you could go ahead and be like a solid Goran Dragic. Like he has that ability from what I've seen in the highlights that I've seen from him, and even like some of the draft guide breakdown videos I've watched, it shows that like he has that ability. And even for Cody Williams, even though a lot of people will just immediately make the connection like, oh, that's Jalen Williams' brother, he can go ahead and ball. But also no one wants to go into detail that he's a dynamic finisher. He's really great in open floor situations. He's a really solid defensive guy. And I mean, for a guy that's, what, I think 6'6", 6'7", he has like a 7'1", 7'2 wingspan, but also has a solid three ball at shooting about 42% from the three. That's a nice thing to go ahead and have on your bench. But if you go ahead and add some weight and muscle to him, because I think, to be honest, I think I weigh more than Cody Williams at the moment. Mm-hmm. if you go ahead and add some muscle weight to him, that's something that you can go ahead and utilize and kind of see as like a factor that other teams are going to need to scout and attack to go ahead and keep him contained. But where he needs to go ahead and improve himself is being able to actually be effective underneath the rim. Like, granted, he is that 6'6", 6'7". Just knowing that he's more of a defensive guy, he'll probably get pushed to the four more often. And especially if he's going to be coming out to Utah, having Markkanen at the three, and let's just say hypothetically Taylor Hendricks isn't there, and you just put Cody Williams in at the four, then John Collins at the five, like, you need to go ahead and have that defensive presence down low. So he would need to go ahead and make that improvement. But I think that those are the two guys that have the highest ceiling out of the names that I've mentioned. I think that Rob Dillingham could prove me wrong in that one, depending on how well he can facilitate and create on his own, which that's one of the biggest things about him that a lot of people go ahead and like, is that he does have the ability to go ahead and create for himself. His ball handling is amazing. And he can go ahead and shoot on the move. So that will go ahead and open up a lot of offensive opportunities for him. And again, Utah just needs somebody who can go ahead and create other than Markkanen. Like, Markkanen is the main guy for offense. And once you take him off the floor, everyone else is hoping they can find their spot. But these other guys, I think that they do have the ability to go ahead and create for themselves and actually give some hope to the bench unit to go ahead and at least start.
Yeah, I mean, look, the names are there. We heard them. You've listened to Alma just talk about them. Jack Potting Around has talked about them. You know, people have talked about them. Unfortunately, nothing today has really convinced me about it.
And that's fine. And that's fine. Like, you are more than willing to go ahead and go into this draft with your opinions. I've been saying this for months. This draft is not that exciting, and I still stand by that. But if the Jazz are going to go ahead and draft somebody, I want to go ahead and have somebody that I'm excited about when they actually draft them, rather than being like, all right, well, they're just going to go ahead and get rid of them. Like, I want to go ahead and, like, hope that these guys actually take it somewhere and do well, you know, for the Jazz. I want to go ahead and look for.
That is interesting, because, like, that's obviously – there's a lot of people who, you know, obviously – once the Jazz draft somebody, they're gonna want you know there are Taylor Hendricks truthers out there, you know, Keontae is another guy that I'm not super sold on. I wasn't sold on him last year, but there's a lot of people who are fanning in the way that he's gonna be. He's like the future of the Jazz, because, like, a lot the name that's been popping up in trade talks lately, Larry Markkanen. And I don't know if there's any real smoke to this fire, but it's been out there. You know, someone also reported today that the Jazz are — it's pretty obvious if the Jazz are going to trade Larry Markkanen, they're looking for a huge package. Like, it's not just going to be, you know, a couple of salary fillers and a couple draft picks or something. It's going to be a haul. It's going to be almost a Donovan Mitchell like haul. Like, we kind of forget how good that trade was. You know, some people have already hated on it, but there was a lot of pieces in that Donovan Mitchell trade that could be good. So it's probably going to get something very similar to that, which is, you know, a lot of future picks, maybe some young talent back for Lowry. And I bring it up because, you know, Logan and I very famously did an episode together, and it was right when the Jazz were, you know, were playing well with the new pieces. This is two seasons ago now. And, you know, this is sort of the first of our quote-unquote untouchables trade talk. And, you know, he said something about, like, Larry's untouchable. And I went the other direction. And I didn't make my point very clear at that time. But it's like, you know, because I said, you know, not, nobody's untouchable. But the point I was trying to make is that everyone should be at some point – there's got to be a price, you know, for Walker Kessler. There's got to be a price for Ochai Agbaji. You can do what the Jazz did and sell high on Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. I don't think anyone, you know, we made that argument that that's what the Jazz did when the trade happened. The Ochai Agbaji trade sounds like they sold low. They waited too long and his value tanked. And so I think that's sort of what the argument that the people who are pro trade line marketing we're not, you know, because I'm part of that camp. I'm not trying to force Larry Markkanen out of here, you know, but I want there to be discussion, like, okay, cool. If someone comes and offers me, a really good price for Larry Markkanen, I want to be able to say, yeah, I'm ready to let it go. Maybe someone like — I hate speaking when he's not here, but, you know, someone like Dragon Squatch would rather have, you know, when John Collins gets traded here or Larry gets traded here, for those guys to become, you know, badasses, keep them around and build around them. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, you're talking about, you know, hopefully to draft somebody and then to be behind that guy, as opposed to me when I think about it, I'm like, okay, I hope they draft somebody that eventually becomes either somebody or, you know, something that they can flip for another superstar. And it's just, I think it's a different way for us to think about it, because you know, like, at some point you have to be able to keep your assets. But the other thing is that with the way the Jazz are playing, with the way the Jazz are kind of building, and the way I think the Jazz are kind of building, the Jazz aren't. I don't think the Jazz are looking to become competitive. And when I say competitive, like, you know, more than just becoming a playoff team. They're just far away enough that they should be looking to figure out a way to make their assets work for them in the long run and sell high. You know, it's like a stock, like anything else. Like, even when you're gambling, playing back blackjack, like, when do I get out? I mean, how much money, you know, do I, like, you know, how many hands do I have to lose before I say, okay, cool, that hot streak is done, and I should walk away from the table, you know? So, I mean, with the Lowry discourse, where do you fall on that, Alma?
I think that everybody does have a price. I personally think that if Lowry were to go, a lot of these teams would need the guarantee, like, okay, he has to sign the max, they're going to come over to us.
Yeah. Let's assume that, like, the if there was a trade, it would be because, like, Lowry's going to want to extend. He wants to make a lot of money for himself, but also the Jazz get a good deal out of it.
But, like, the only team that I think would go ahead and at least intrigue me, and mind you, this is me making the assumption that the deal is already signed. This is what his new price tag will be, because now with the new
second apron
CBA agreement, you have to go ahead and actually match the salary now. You can't just, like, take in a big portion of it. Like, the only team that I think would have a package that would be worthwhile for Utah is Oklahoma City. Like, granted, Utah just seems to make all these deals with Oklahoma City for some reason. But I think a package of, like, let's say Josh Giddey, Lou Dort, Ousmane Dieng, and maybe, like, 3 first-round picks outright and then maybe 2 swaps, I think that would be a deal to where the conversation would start.
I'm not sure the marketing really makes sense for them, because I feel like
let's not even talk about who cares about the Thunder, who cares if it makes sense for the Thunder.
Well, because you want deals that are realistic, it might actually happen.
I don't think it's unrealistic. Like, maybe it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I think it's definitely in the realm of possibilities that they can make that trade now. Okay, so, you know, like, so basically that was a trade of, like, okay, you know, what was that, one, two young guys that you had in there? You know, Josh Giddey being the prize.
Giddey, Dort.
3 picks, which is, you know, kind of low. I saw a trade offer that someone put out. It was, like, way more picks than that. Plus it was, Cason Wallace and Josh Giddey. Okay, so how about this then? Jared, with the Thunder, you know, like, they look like they're going to be good. Like, they're the number 2 seed in the West this year. Sure, they got upset by the Mavericks, but the Mavericks are in the finals. What do you think about people who are like, okay, you know, what about those Thunder picks? Like, how many Thunder picks gets you excited about a trade like that?
I don't know. They've got a really good young core.
Uh-huh.
So are we taking back Thunder picks or picks they got from somebody else?
So, this is where I kind of get, So this is, like, it's one of the things that, like, I try not to guess what's going to happen to these teams the next 10 years. This is something that, look at what the Thunder did with the Clippers picks, right? So they made that trade with Paul George for the Clippers, and so at the time when they made that trade, it was the Clippers got Kawhi, they got Paul George. You know, we're like, okay, the Clippers are gonna make a huge run at it, and here we are, what, 3 years later, 4 years later, and the Clippers have been just fine. I mean, the pick that turned into Jalen Williams for the Thunder was a Clippers pick at number 12, I want to say. You know, and that was
only, and then that SGA wasn't deemed like a big time player either. And well, now yeah, you have a guy young, who's right?
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, but like I'm just talking about the picks, because if you had just said, okay, cool, maybe one of those later picks is going to be, but just 2 years later, that just two years after that Paul George trade, they turned the Clippers pick into Jalen Williams, one of their three best players on the team, you would say, right? Yeah. You know, we saw Jalen Williams play, like he's really good. That came from that Paul George trade. So that's the part of that we keep trying to. Here's the thing, we humans, you know, people, even people who are in the business, we are really bad at projections. We are really bad at knowing what's going to happen. You know, we were making educated guess, like, oh, okay, well, they have a young core. Yeah, but things happen. Injuries happen. You know, like what happened to that Clippers team? Why did that Clippers team miss the playoffs? Why was that a lottery pick for the Thunder? They had Kawhi Leonard and Paul George just 2 years ago. Thought that team was supposed to be a championship team. And that turned into a lottery pick. You know, like, you know, you and I had this conversation about the Wolves just, you know, 4 months ago. You know, we had that conversation like, oh, the Wolves look like they're going to be so good now. And here we are 4 months later, and they just got beat by the Mavericks in the conference finals. They're going to be probably, you know, close to the second apron coming to the offseason. Their finances are going to, you know, it's going to get tricky for those Wolves. That team might, you know, that Wolves team may not be as good as we thought they were 4 months ago. And so this is my way of saying that, okay, you know, we look at those Thunder, you know, we said three Thunder picks, four Thunder picks, whatever they are. So maybe some of those are Clippers picks or whatever. But I guess in my head, when I hear picks, I don't try to say, okay, so it's, you know, like if it was next year's pick, okay, fair. You know, we can say that's probably going to be a late pick because that's next year. We can assume that. But picks that, and this happened when we made the Jazz made the Thunder, or sorry, the Rudy trade and the Donovan trade. I said, okay, cool. You know, maybe in 2 years, those picks aren't going to look that good. But the picks that are in 2025, 2027, 2029, those are interesting because years down the line, people retire, people get traded. Things happen to those teams that turn those picks into lottery picks. So we can't, I don't know if we can just assume that every Thunder pick that they trade is going that's to true. Be a late pick. So yeah, I guess when, you know, to answer your question, if the Thunder, you know, so that's why I'm asking you. So those Thunder picks, I know that they might be late.
The Jazz picks way more effective too, though, right. Like trading away Markkanen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that helps. I mean, like, I guess I'm asking Jared. Look, you know, it's going to be a multitude of picks, three or four picks. A young guy that may or may not be okay. You know, like, you know, I don't want to get into the Josh Giddey, like everything that happened, because I don't really know the whole story about the Josh Giddey stuff. I know that, you know, in the court of public opinion, he's not very popular. But you know, there's a lot of stuff, but it could or could not be shady, I guess. And I would like to know more about it before I talk about Josh Giddey, I guess. But yeah, look, you're gonna get a young player. Maybe Josh Giddey turns into SGA, right? Like, I don't know if he's you know, he had a pretty good rookie year. People thought he was pretty good in his rookie year. He hasn't been as good lately, but maybe he just needs a change of scenery, right? Or, you know, maybe Larry Markkanen makes him a better player. So I guess the question is,
I thought this, in this hypothetical trade, Larry was being traded for Giddey.
What was that? One more time.
I thought in this hypothetical scenario.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right. Well, you're right. So. You know, maybe Josh Giddey, you know, on a different team, different coaching. Will Hardy brings that. I don't know. So
I don't think Josh Giddey turned into a superstar.
I guess the question is, you know, let's say it's not Josh Giddey. Let's just say young player that's not, mm-hmm. you know, that doesn't look like an all-star right now, but, you know, young, you know, high-ish draft capital. So, you know, at one point looked like he could be good. And, you know, same with you, Alma. Like, what do you think? You know, like, you were talking about you brought up the names and stuff, but to me, it's just the names are not that important. It's the assets. It's, okay, so Josh Giddey's young. I, you know, he's shown flashes of, because that's the problem with that. Like, I'm bad at evaluating. I've seen Josh Giddey have some good stat lines. I know that he is capable of it. I don't know what it is to make sure to unlock that. That's somebody else's job. But, you know, there's something there. You know, it's a risk. And then you tell me that, you know, there's three, four other, you know, there's draft assets and stuff like that. You know, add those assets and and everything. But then the Jazz are bare, right? It's Colin Sexton, it's Keontae George. You know, they go from not having a true number two to from having a number two on the team to not having a number two on the team. So, does that interest you then, like, to start from the bare bones without Larry Markkanen in there, Alma?
I mean, I don't want to watch that by any means.
And you will.
I want there to be competitive basketball of some kind. Like, if you go ahead and take Markkanen off of that team, I mean, who is going to be your main source of offense? I mean, it's literally just going to be
Colin Sexton and Keontae George.
But that's what I'm saying. But, like, for them to go ahead and create Sexton, I think it's a little bit easier for him just because of the motor that guy has.
Yes.
Like, he just forces his way to the basket, and just he's 110%, 140% of the time. So, like, he will constantly just be able to go ahead and score no matter what. Whether it's a good look, bad look, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Keontae George, I think he still has some maturing to do, because even towards the end of the season, you would see him pout on the court. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that Will Hardy gets that out of his system. I'm really hoping that this time that Keontae's getting in Dallas and speaking with some of these players that are in the finals can go ahead and open up his mind a little bit. So then, don't have those situations. I don't know if you guys went ahead and saw the advice that Kyrie Irving gave to Keontae, but I thought that those were really good words for Keontae to hear. And I really hope that he takes it to heart.
I really hope that Keontae thinks the earth is flat.
But outside of that, I think that, like, there's not really a true offense for their, like, team to be able to work with. So not having Markkanen to go ahead and at least distract the defense to go ahead and open things up for the other players, I think it'll really hurt the team, and you'll really lose this fan base. Like, if you thought last year was really bad for the fan base, like, getting rid of Markkanen and not having somebody else to help create the offense and create open shots for the rest of the team, that's going to be really rough. But I think for this hypothetical to go ahead and start the conversations, like, you need to go ahead and have multiple players to fill out that roster so then fans can at least try and buy into it. Granted, it'll take a lot giving away Markkanen and knowing that he went ahead and had his all-star season here. Fans are probably going to be quick to turn on the team, most likely, if something like that were to happen. But Utah would need to have players immediately to fill the roles, whether it's better or worse, most likely worse in this scenario. But then you need to go ahead and have the fans ready for the future, hoping for the future that those picks will go ahead and do something better for them down the line so that they can go ahead and invest rather than just immediately disconnecting. Even though Utah does have that huge investment right now with all of their draft picks, a lot of fans are already willing to check out.
Yeah, let's
they need something.
We've gone long, so we'll table this because I think there's a lot more meat on the bone of this, and in about 3 months when we record again. When the Jazz are interesting, let's come back to the Lowry and figuring out what to do, because I think there's a good discussion to have here. And again, mm-hmm. not saying that we should or shouldn't, but let's talk about the options. Let's talk about, like, what would happen if we did or we didn't, or you know the way to build the team and the pros and the cons. So
what does every team have to offer in this situation?
Yeah,
like, it's good. The good discussion to have. So then you at least know what the options are. And I mean, you can kind of put your mind into the seat of a GM. Like, what are you willing to consider?
Yeah,
like,
as you were saying,
even though you don't want to as a fan, right. Like, you might have to consider these things.
Yeah. As you were saying, if you free your mind, the rest will follow. So, Alma, you're just some kind of working, you're applying, looking for some jobs in media, which is going. What else are you working on with Flick the Bean and the Hive?
So I'm really trying to figure out, like, what direction I want to go ahead and go with things, like, especially now with this hockey team. Like, I've really been trying to learn hockey as quickly as possible. I've been playing the NHL video game literally every single day. so I can learn the rules and like purposely trying to get penalties so I can understand how they happen. And then watching the Stanley Cup finals, just
3-0 baby,
you know, trying just understanding the speed of things.
I was saying if you could, I was asking if you could start fights in the video game. Never mind.
Oh, can you start fights in the video game?
Yeah, so funny enough, one of the easiest ways that you can start a fight is that after a penalty has been called, if you just immediately take a shot at the goal, computer immediately tries to fight you. And it's,
well, that is Bush League, like, so you're right. Amazing. That is Bush League, so they should start fighting.
That's amazing.
So I've been trying to figure out all of the potential like rulings and stuff just so then once I go ahead and actually start doing my live tweeting of these games, I can understand like what fans are looking for. What are things that maybe these live broadcasts aren't showing that I can go ahead and talk about and get my platform out there, just kind of like how I do for jazz games. And, you know, just trying to cry in a corner knowing how much money I'm having to drop on these tickets because I found out it is a requirement by the NHL that you have to do a minimum of 2 seats for season tickets. Mm. So,
so no I have to pay for 2 seats. So Mrs. Alma, the future Mrs. Alma Bean is going to be very, very, or Mr., who knows, whoever is going to go with Alma to the games here.
Yeah, I'm like already trying to figure out like what games am I going to be willing to bite the bullet on because if you sell over 40% of your tickets, whether it's Jazz, NHL, whatever, they can go ahead and revoke your season tickets next season.
Ryan
Smith. So I have to like be careful on how often I sell.
Ryan Smith so finding a new way to screw you. So.
So I gotta go ahead and you know decide which games I'm taking people to and which ones I might try and get my money back on.
Yep. Go to This is 49. Driving the bus, metaphorically, physically. Driving the bus all night long. You can do it.
Okay.
Jared went and got a cheap microphone set up. I told him that he can't be on the podcast, so he gets a $500 plus microphone set up. So, you know, it might be a while before Jared gets it back on this podcast. So,
yeah, I honestly don't know if I set it up correctly because it was, yeah.
But you know, we had a good time. You know, when I say we, Jared and I had a good time in Vegas just a month ago with the Squatch and the Honey Pods. Alma was there in spirit, I guess. You know, he has stuff.
I really wish I could have been there.
Yeah, you know, if wishes were fishes, man. Yeah, we had a good time. Hopefully, we get the Dragon Squatch on again. And go say hi to Mr. and Mrs. Honey Paws on the Twitterverse at Dragon Squatch, and at DJ Honey Paws. You can follow Jared at Go the Distance 49. He goes the distance 49. He goes the distance in the bus. He drives down by my dad's house some Wednesday nights. So I'm not even living at my house in Salt Lake right now. I am gonna tonight because they're remodeling the bathroom. So I'm gonna have to make sure I go to the bathroom before I go home because I will not be able to go to the bathroom when I'm there. So wish me luck. And then, we've gone a little bit extra long. We have a lottery marketing podcast coming up in the next couple weeks. You know, good luck at the draft, and we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, I'm just gonna have to keep playing with it to see.
That is a great advertisement for our new sponsor for penis medicine. Just keep playing with it to get the quality up. Part of the
more you use it, the harder it gets.
Part of the B Leave Network.